CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Bradley Bowman. Brad Bowman is the Senior Director of the Center on Military and Political Power at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Over these last days, Brad has illustrated a pattern that appears to be building in the Middle East, a pattern of force projection. The striking thing is who's projecting. Not an adversary, not an axis of evil, but instead a collective of warplanes and warships from many different regions. Brad, a very good evening to you. What was Blue Flag 2021? Who participated and what to make of it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thanks for the opportunity to join you and to talk about these developments we're seeing in the Middle East, which I think are quite significant. The Blue Flag exercise was an Israeli-hosted Air Force exercise, which was the largest and most advanced Air Force exercise that Israel has ever hosted. At least eight major Air Forces participated. It included France, Germany, Greece, India, Italy, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And each of them sent very significant contingents of aircraft and air crews. And this was a real deal exercise that included, for example, Israeli F-35I aircraft. So you had practicing fourth and fifth generation aircraft working together. What I think significant about Blue Flag is it really was the Israelis flexing their political military muscle. I mean, each of these militaries wouldn't have sent their air forces if they didn't think they had something to learn from the Israelis. And it also reflects at least an implicit nod to the fact that Israel is increasingly a respected regional leader. And I think that's probably quite frustrating to Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and frankly, folks elsewhere who are trying to isolate Israel. What we've seen with the Blue Flag exercise is the exact opposite. We see a regional leader that's respected both diplomatically and militarily.
France, Germany, Greece, India, Italy, the United Kingdom, all participating with warplanes. Now, Brad, we couldn't get those countries to agree on the World Cup. It's not possible. They all have their favorite games and their favorite players. So how did they do this? You say they respect Israel, but there must have been an organizing principle. Does this mean they all recognize that there's a predator in the region who must be contained?
Well, you know, I don't think those three countries could agree that, you know, ice cream tastes good. So, you know, it's pretty excellent that they were there, in my view. And there were a whole bunch of firsts, right? It was the first time we saw French Rafael fighters there in Israel, the first time we saw Indian Mirage fighters in Israel, and the first time that the British had sent a fighter squadron to Israel since 1948. So, you know, a lot of firsts here. Perhaps the most significant first, and this will get to answer your question, was the visit of the Air Force chief from the United Arab Emirates, right? We know that in the 2020 Abraham Accords, we saw Israel, UAE, and Bahrain establish normal diplomatic relations. And what we're seeing coming behind that, of course, is economic ties, financial ties, tourism, agriculture. But big surprise, also military cooperation. Why is that? It's because we see the Islamic Republic of Iran continuing to sow instability and export terrorism. And that concerns Emiratis, and that concerns Israelis and Americans alike. So we're seeing kind of a natural response to what Iran has been doing, frankly, since 1979. Arab countries have long quietly recognized that Israel was not their true adversary. Now they're publicly increasingly recognizing that, and we're seeing the results.
What does the Blue Flag exercise look like? There's an aggressor squadron that your report says was flown by F-16s by the Israeli Air Force. So is it a show? Is it a war game where you are tagged out if your flag is pulled off your waist? How does it work, Brad?
Yeah, you know, thank you. I mean, you have red flag, green flag, blue flag without making, you know, people get dizzy here. I mean, the bottom line is this is a real exercise where you have air crews practicing air-to-air operations. So think dogfighting, air-to-ground operations, i.e. think taking out targets on the ground, and suppressing enemy air defenses. You know, from an Israeli perspective, these are exactly the kind of skills you would need in Syria or Lebanon or, heaven forbid, in Iran. And these are the same skills that, frankly, any self-respecting Air Force is the core of their what they do. It's their meat and potatoes. And so, like in any exercise, you have guys, you know, aggressor squadron, the folks that play the red team or the bad guys, and they try to create as real-world situation as possible. And, we, you know, in this exercise, they actually had unmanned aerial systems involved. They had helicopters. They had a Patriot battery playing the kind of enemy air defenses. So this is a real exercise. And there was also a conference on F-35s in particular, because a lot of these countries either have F-35s or want to get them. And so that fifth generation element was a key aspect too.
A separate development, a separate organized principle. October 30th, Israel, Bahrain, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia participating, what you report at different times, over the Arabian Peninsula with the U.S. B-1B. What does this represent, Brad?
So the United States regularly sends bombers in various places around the world to assure our friends and allies and partners and to deter our adversaries and say, we have the means to give you a very bad day with our bombers. And that's what this B-1 flight was. It was not the first, but it was the second time, though, where we saw both Israeli and Saudi fighters participate in essentially the same exercise. Now, anyone who understands the Middle East understands that's a big deal because Israel and Saudi Arabia do not have diplomatic relations, unlike Israel and the UAE and Bahrain. And so I want to be clear. This was a U.S. B-1 bomber circumnavigating the Arabian Peninsula, flying on the maritime southern shore of Iran, sending a very clear deterrent message to Iran. But as this B-1 flew through Israel, it was escorted by Israeli fighters, and for part of its flight, it was escorted by Saudi fighters. So you essentially can say you have Israeli and Saudi fighters participating in the same mission, albeit at different times. Now, we don't want to get too excited about this because the Saudis called it a bilateral exercise, so they were clearly trying to kind of hide the ball a little bit here. But this is the second time this happened, and we've seen an exchange of commercial aircraft between Israel and Saudi Arabia. So clearly things are fluid right now in the Middle East for the reasons we've discussed.
The Iranian Air Force, to recall what I've learned over the years, it doesn't exist much. It has its parts poor. It's not been able to rebuild since, the Russian days. It has pieces of everybody's Air Force. It is no match for even a small part of these exercises. Is that the point, Brad, to show what can be here and you can't match it?
You know, exactly. The point, the clear audience for all this, in my view, at risk of oversimplifying, is the Islamic Republic of Iran. But the problem is that, you know, Iran knows that if they go to have a conventional warfare with the United States, that's going to be their worst day. But yet that doesn't stop them from continuing the asymmetrical warfare that they specialize in supporting their proxies in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, and Yemen. And so, you know, clearly I'd say these bomber flights are necessary, but clearly not sufficient. And that's why this exercise in the Red Sea, which was the first time we've seen overt cooperation between the Emiratis and Israelis and Bahrainis in an exercise, is so significant because what they're focusing on in that exercise is boarding vessels that may be smuggling weapons. And that's exactly the means by which Iran has supported the Houthis in Yemen and some of their other terror proxies elsewhere.
So we move now from two demonstrations of warplanes, to a demonstration of naval vessels operating in the Red Sea to interrupt resupply of adversaries. And is that a first, to have the navies or the brown water navy working together?
Yes. So, it's kind of extraordinary. It's easy to get all of it confused. So with Blue Flag, we saw the UAE Air Force Chief visit. That was a first, to visit Israel. With the bomber flight, we saw it's only the second time we've seen Israelis and Saudi fighters participating essentially in the same mission, albeit different times. And then I think most significantly, and something that really deserves more attention than it's getting, is this maritime exercise that is concluding literally today as we speak, where you have Israel, the United States, UAE, and Bahrain conducting a five-day multilateral maritime security operation exercise in the Red Sea. What are they focusing on? Visiting, boarding, searching, and seizure tactics, basically helping each of our militaries work together more effectively in interdiction operations. That's the very thing that Iran does not want to hear because that's the means by which they support their terror proxies with weapons.
Has something happened, Brad, that all of this could be falling together? Was it long planned or is this spontaneous? We have about a minute, less than a minute.
You know, as I mentioned earlier, several Arab capitals have long understood that Iran was the real problem, not Israel, but they couldn't say that publicly. After the Abraham Accords, you're having an overt recognition of what they've long understood, that Israel is actually their partner here on these security challenges, not their adversary. And if we really want to deter Iran and its terror proxies, we need a more unified and capable Arab-Israeli, and American military coalition.
Bradley Bowman is the Senior Director of the Center on Military and Political Power at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.